Hi, I'm Jen Suliafu, and I'm delighted to be on this journey with you. Life is an exciting game with many twists and turns. It gets really good when we begin to learn how it works and how to win. I believe that no matter where someone's life is at, we have the power to make radical shifts to create a life that truly honors us. I live for awakenings, so let's get to it, darlings. Hey everyone, welcome back. I am thrilled for today's conversation. I'm talking about one of my absolute favorite tools when it comes to looking at the energy of us and our energetic makeup, which today we're talking about numerology. You can learn so much about life when you study numbers. And I am sitting down with someone I have learned so much from. I've followed her work for many years, and she is a master numerologist, and she's here today to share her wisdom with us. Her name is Felicia Bender. So enjoy this episode. Let's get to it. Here we go. Okay, so welcome, my dear Felicia. I can't wait to talk to you today. I love numerology. I'm so excited about it. Everyone that knows me, I'm always going, I'm getting out my calculator and I'm wanting to like do their number. What's your birthday, right? So I'm so excited to talk to you today because you are a master numerologist. You call yourself the practical numerologist.
Yes. So I'm not a mathematical wizard, just so you know. No math, really. I mean, the funniest thing is that anyone listening who's a little bit, resistant or reticent, like, numerology, is that just numbers and math and everything? The cosmic joke is I hate math, like more than anything in the world.
Do you really, though? Do you really?
Not anymore. Not anymore. But honestly, all my life, that has been my most anxiety-producing subject. And I just didn't understand it. Like you go to algebra class, it's like, who cares? Like, what does this have to do with anything? And I gather now that you can do, you know, software programs where you can actually show students what it does actually look like, what it does do, right? In terms of graphically and everything. Anyway, I digress. But anyway, I have not been a math person. And yet numerology to me is like a language. It's really like learning a language.
So tell people that aren't familiar with numerology, what's the big deal about numerology and why is it so awesome?
So why numerology? So basically numerology, for those who really don't know, it's funny because when people ask me what I do and I say I'm a numerologist, often they hear that I am a neurologist. So they'll start talking about like brain tumors and things.
Oh my God.
So it's funny. And yet numerology is the art and the science of numbers. Basically, there are different forms of numerology, just like in astrology, right? You have Chinese astrology, Vedic astrology, other forms of astrology. Same thing for numerology. And yet the type of numerology that I practice is Pythagorean. It comes from Pythagoras, the Greek mystic. He was really kind of an interesting guy. Mystic, was really into music, astronomy, all of these different elements. And remember the Pythagorean theorem of geometry in math class? Were you paying attention? You don't have to say it, but you remember that it's a thing, like it exists. Oh, yes. Okay. Right? Yeah. Same guy. Okay. Yeah, it's the same guy. So just as a point of reference, same person who is the author of the Pythagorean theorem of geometry. But basically, numerology is posited on the idea that numbers carry with them not only a quantitative value, right? One apple, two apples, three, how to count something. It actually, that the numbers carry with them data. They are comprised of frequency, of vibration, and they are carriers of information. So it's kind of like You know, it's an interesting time to be alive because in some ways we can push that level, that willing suspension of disbelief in our technologically based world that we live in, because everything is bits and bytes of data, right? That are comprised of ones and zeros, basically. But I mean, if you think about it, what is the cloud? Like, how does that exist? I mean, it's supposed to be up there somewhere, right? So how does that work? And it's a cell phone reception. All of those things, they are a combination of numbers that carry data, right? I also like to look at it as, if to use a metaphor, Morse code, for instance. Let's say you walk into a room and there's Morse code going, ba 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 da 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 da, all of the dots and dashes. If you don't know Morse code, it's just static, right? It's just whatever. Yeah. If you walk in there and you know Morse code, you can understand the information that is being relayed. So to me, it's very much the same thing. Numerology is happening all the time, whether we know it or believe in it. And yet when we do, we can understand the language. And it's really pretty super awesome. To go back to your question, why is it so great? Because we can ascertain so much information. A lot of numerologists use this for all kinds of things. What my specialty is in being human, right? Why are we here? I like to look at the human element and the personal element. And so in numerology, we can define an entire profile, a map for you, as it will, using your full date of birth and your name as it appears on your birth certificate. With that, we'll do calculations and we can come up with basically what you checked in here to do and what you checked in here to accomplish. And it gives you the richness of detail about periods of time that you're going through, what you're learning during those times. It gives you your personality profile, what I like to call your purpose profile. And it really gives you a surprising depth and breadth of knowledge and actionable ways to align, to define it, and then align with it.
Yes. I love how you say with the personal year, how it gives you like the theme to your party.
Oh, yes.
Right? It's got to be fun.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I love. So in the spiritual world, I struggled a bit for a moment when I started stepping into this whole world, because I was raised in religion and then I left religion and then I was kind of on my own for a minute trying to go, well, what now, right? And then I tapped into the world of spirituality, and I have to say, I was a bit freaked out by people, because there's some people that I was like, whoa, what? Like, it's a little too much for me. I feel like I'm a pretty logical person. And so with a little bit of woo-woo, right? Like, I can get woo-woo, right?
But there's some people way woo, right?
Like, and so it was like, the thing I love about you, and I actually found you years ago, even though we just met recently, but I love your style because I love how you call yourself the practical numerologist, and you're so relatable. You make it funny. Just the words you use. There's a bridge to you that I feel like I could at least really relate to you. And I love listening to you because sometimes you'll read an article or you'll listen to someone in spirituality and then you go, what did they just say?
Exactly. Right? And I'm riding that same, you know, train with you, because I've been, you know, doing these sorts of things for a long time and have been in different areas in this spiritual self-help world, right? Mm-hmm. And I agree with you. There's sometimes it's like, okay, whatever past life dimension-y, blah, blah. I mean, and I'm not, please don't get me wrong. I think it's very vital to do that kind of work and I'm all for it. And yet, how can I use whatever tool I'm using like right now? Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. Sometimes you're just not there in this lifetime, or maybe you don't ever want to be at that place. Like, to me, you know, we are spirit in a human body, so we still got to kind of keep it real.
We did check in on in this human existence for some reason, and so sometimes it's nice to look at our numbers and go, oh, that's why, you know, so we can align with it and maybe gosh, enjoy it along the way in some way, shape, or form, right? I think that's the point in some ways.
For me, knowing the different themes, it helps me so much. There's two numbers that I really pay attention to. I'm sure you are constantly looking at all the angles because you could get lost in numerology. It's so fun. There's so many layers. But for me, the main two I pay attention to are life path and your personal year.
Yes.
Is there another one that you feel like is more important or?
No.
Okay.
No, you're right on board. I think if you simply want to use this as a guidepost and a pretty simple, basic way around things, absolutely. Life path and personal year are really informative. Then you can go down the rabbit hole all you want, right? With everything else. And yet that personal year is a really great thing. And just to do a quick, well, what is that? Right? Everyone else is like, what is that personal year? The personal year is, like you just said, I call it knowing the theme to your party. In numerology, we believe that we go through 9-year cycles throughout our lives, birth to death, called personal year cycles. And in numerology, we're dealing with the numbers 1 through 9 consistently. There are other combinations that go in with that that have significance, and yet basically the numbers 1 through 9. So the cool thing is when you start really getting into numerology and you know the basic defining qualities of each of the numbers, you can start in some ways plugging those in whenever they show up. So that's a really fun aspect of it as well. And then you get to refine it as you practice, like anything else, right? It's a practice sport. So you get to do that. So with the personal year, it is that most immediate energy that we're feeling. Again, knowing that theme to your party, which is kind of, it is the energy that you're feeling. And what happens is that when you're in it and you understand what the key thematics are, you can go, oh, that's actually what I'm feeling. I'm feeling it. So first of all, you can have validation that you're not just, I don't know, crazy or something, first of all. And second of all, you can also key into what maybe those opposing forces or maybe some of the challenges so that you can meet them head on with some more expertise, right? And you can use those to your advantage as you move along. So for instance, if you're in a 1 personal year, it's a year of new beginnings. It's the beginning of a cycle. If you're in a 9 personal year, it's the end of one. So you can really show this. You can go, oh, this is not just a throwaway thing. This is significant what I'm going through right now. And so you can really lean into that and align with that. So each year has its resonance and its energy that it's supporting you with and calling upon you to engage with that. And then you can also understand what's really not really being supported with. So for instance, one more example, if you're moving into a 7 personal year, the 7 personal year is more about introspection. It's a kind of a pausing time where you're doing some deep diving, you're doing some study, you're organizing, you're planning rather than doing. So if you are hitting the ground running in a 7 year and you think you're going to get that new job and conquer that new client and do all the building of the business, it doesn't mean that things aren't going to go along at a pace around you. And yet the chances of that not happening are pretty great in a 7 personal year. So if you know that it's not the time to push it, that actually the right timing is going to be the following year in your 8, where you're going to launch and implement anything. And what you're doing now is actually readying yourself, mind, body, and spirit on those things. So oftentimes that can give you a really great amount of information and allow you to trust your feelings, right, around it as well. So one quick thing too, everyone's like, well, what is the personal year and how do I calculate it? I kind of did that backwards. So if you're listening and you want to know what your personal year is, you take your month of birth and your day of birth. So your year of birth doesn't matter in this calculation. So just leave that to the side. So do you mind if we use yours, Jen?
No, go for it.
Okay. Yeah. So Jennifer is born on March 11th. So in this configuration, March is a 3 because it is the 3rd month of the year, January, February, March. So that is a 3. The 11th, actually, it's kind of fun to do this because the 11th is a master number. The master numbers are repeating numbers, 11, 22, 33. But if this shows up like it does right here in this configuration, we do not reduce it. Okay. And sometimes it won't change the ultimate outcome of the calculation, but it can give you some more nuances before you get to the final calculation, if that makes sense. So what we'll do here is March is a 3, the 11th is an 11, and then we're going to take the current year. So 2022, this is the hardest math of the whole thing. Okay. So it's 2 + 0 + 2 + 2, and that equals 6. So then we're going to add those three numbers together. 3 + 11 = 14 + 6 = 20. Then we're always reducing to a one-digit number. 2 + 0 = 2. So in this instance, in 2022, this year, you are experiencing a 2 personal year. So if those of you listening want to do your personal year, that is how it is calculated.
Yeah. So if they didn't have a master number in the day, then like, let's say it was the 17th.
Yes.
And they would add up the 1 + 7.
1 + 7. Correct. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, let's do it that way. If it were March 17th, March would still be a 3. 17th would be 1 + 7 = 8. And 2022 is still a 6. So that would be 3 + 8. So that's 11, 8, 9 to 11, right? Plus 6. 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. So we have a 17 again. 1 + 7 = 8. In this example, you would be in an 8 personal year.
Okay, cool. So that's my brother's birthday. So if my brother listens to this, then you're in an 8 this year, which I think is awesome. I say congratulations. I love the 8. I love the 8.
You can support him in his eightness this year.
Yeah, absolutely. So to me, I love the personal year roadmap so much because it's kind of like that, a roadmap of like, hey, up here, you're going to be kind of hitting some bumpy waters or maybe a little bit of a storm. So kind of slow down, put your coat on, you know, and have some support around you or whatever it is.
Put your wipers on.
For me, when I say 7, you mentioned the 7 personal year, I'm like, that was the hardest year of my life. And I am really grateful that I had numerology. I felt like I had, in a sense, like a friend that was like, okay, hey, look, this is what's going to be happening. This is normal. This is okay. It's a year of letting go, of really going deep within. It's a real spiritual year. And I felt like at the beginning of the year, I had a spiritual foundation, but by the end of the year, holy cow, it went to a whole nother level.
It does. It is literally and figuratively just continuing to peel that onion. I mean, in your experience with that, what was it that felt so difficult or profound? Do you mind me asking? Because
So I let go of a lot of friendships. I felt like it was a year of combustion around me.
Yeah.
This was back in 2018. So my mom was put on hospice. She ended up passing away that year. Our whole family was grieving. I let go of people and belief systems. And it was just a big year of healing and really revisiting things that I hadn't in many, many years. I say it was one of the hardest years of my life, but one of the best. It was a really good year, but I'm grateful that I had that to help me. Otherwise, I might have just thought it was horrible or chaotic or, you know,
in the 7 year, we can feel very victimized, right? It can have that very, or we can look at it as an incredible moment, inviting us to really go into our deepest shadow work. Right? Is really what it's all about. And there's a numerologist who's long passed, Dr. Juno Jordan. And I love what she says about the 7 personal year, that it is a time to cultivate the right state of mind. Right? And so it's basically, again, what you describe is often very much what happens in a 7. Identity, the structure around identity is dissolved, right? Or looked at or moved sideways, right? Like something happens, like the death of your mother, like other things that are inextricably painful.
Yeah.
And difficult, and yet the growth that comes from that is just unspeakable, really. It's exponential.
Yeah. And I think, too, when you are paying attention and you realize that it's a year of going inward and really, like you say, contemplating your navel and really looking within, I learned a lot of things about myself, too, and a lot of things that I was like, wow, maybe I don't want to do that anymore. Maybe I want to heal that once and for all, or shift that thing about myself. I mean, one thing that I really saw within myself in 2018 that I wanted to shift, that was just getting some more guts to speak my truth in moments instead of letting things go in friendships and not saying anything.
Right.
And then until it got to the point where it combusted and I lost dear friends. I believe it was time for things to shift in those situations, but it took time for me to see those things within myself as well, where it was like, Jen, where could you have done things differently? Mm-hmm. And so it was a big gift for me that whole year, but it was hard. For sure.
It is. It's hard. And you state it perfectly, though, because then what I love about the personal years is we can all see how things are set up as this intricate, beautiful tapestry, right? So you're dealing with that in 2018 with all of these very significant, deep shifts that really, in many ways, only you can understand. Trying to even talk about them is so, I don't know, one-dimensional, right? And it's so multi-spectrum within you. And yet one of the key features that I'm hearing you say is like, I really investigated how I'm participating in this and how I want to empower myself in these areas, right? X, Y, and Z, whatever it is. So guess what? The next year you get your 8, which is all about taking all of that learning and implementing it. Because the 8 is about power and empowerment. It is about reviewing your financial health. It's a kind of a reap as you've sown year. It's a year of accomplishment. So all the things that you've been working with and ruminating on in the 7 come into play to be played, to be worked with. And yet only now are you ready to really blossom into the empowerment, right? Because if you would have tried to do that at the beginning of 2018, before all of this experience happened, it would just be an entirely different story, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. And then there's the micro and the macro level, right? So we're talking about the micro level as far as what my personal year is this year is a 2, right? But then we also have the collective on a macro level of what the entire planet is going through, what every human on the planet is experiencing that year. So what is this year? What do we have to look forward to? And are you excited about this year? Or are you like, uh-oh?
I think it's excitement mixed with, you know, I kind of think of it as, I don't know, I'm going to get a little more woo-woo in a funny way, of the cosmos, right? The cosmic support teams of everyone sitting up there with their popcorn and their, you know, junior mints, whatever, and watching the show, you know, because it is going to be another show, I feel, because numerologically, we take, there's something called the universal year. Again, just like you're observing, it is the collective energy that all of us are experiencing globally. So it's kind of that umbrella energy. 2022, once again, 2 + 0 + 2 + 2, that equals 6. So we're in a 6 universal year with a real kicker with the 2s. So if you think about it, there's 3 2s lined up with a 0, which in numerology is an intensifier. Okay. So I'll talk just briefly about the 6 and then kind of move it into play with a little more nuance, because the way I feel that this is playing out and will play out is that the 6 is, and I'm always looking at politics, right, in terms of the universal year. What's coming into play politically? What are the experiences and the events that we're having on a global scale? We're still talking about vaccines. We're talking about pandemic-related things. We're talking about climate change. We're talking about refugees. We're talking about gender equality and violence and other, you know, we're talking about different threads and different segments of issues that are fighting their way to, you know, to the one, two, and three slot, right, in many ways. So the six overarchingly is the number of home, family, duty, service, nurturance, right? So the six, even if you look at it, it's like a little pregnant belly. So it's this year where we're supported by the energy of looking at the global community as a global community, as a family. And yet, if you think about it, and I do, families have their feuds, right? Right? I mean, you've got the in-laws and you've got I mean, you do have those sorts of dynamics often with a family. And I feel like that's also going to be playing out. And one of the things is going to be about, to me, the six is also a visionary energy and number. So I feel that's going to kind of step to the forefront as we go through a lot of necessity is the mother of invention, right? So I feel like a lot of forward thinking, entrepreneurial things are going to be coming into play because we need them to. And this is an energy that's being supported right now. And I think that really coming back to this dynamic that is more love centered and it's optimal. The six is about accepting the perfection of the imperfection of everything, of being highly responsible, of being nurturing, of holding space for everyone and everything. It's more of that warm, fuzzy, you know, family comfort feeling. And yet the opposing force is strident judgment. And, you know, that kind of controlling perfectionism that plays out very much in the way that we're seeing it played out now. And I think it's just going to kind of ramp it up a little this year, which is I'm right and you're wrong. And I'm going to make you do this for your own good. Mm-hmm. And so it has that kind of energy that can play out again globally. And then if we look at the twos, the two is more about love. Relationships. It's the lover, not the fighter. It is diplomacy, mediation, hugely sensitive, very much focused on the good of the group. So they're very simpatico in terms of the energies. And yet the two is more supportive, more of that feminine energy, more of that supportive, loving, intuitive, feminine energy. And so I think that's also, aren't you seeing it where we're talking about love a lot more recently, about bringing love into things, bringing understanding, bringing some diplomacy, meeting in the middle, right? Not this, we have a winner and a loser. We're at this point, hopefully, I mean, there's still going to be that. And yet I think the consensus is we've got to come together here because we are a global community and we cannot deny that anymore, right? So these are the energies that are happening, numerologically speaking, again, universally right now.
Mm-hmm. Wow, interesting. So do you find that Western astrology, Chinese astrology, numerology, all of them, that they go hand in hand with each other?
There's always going to be some little wild cards, you know, here, there, and everywhere. And yet, yes, I love looking at the astrology and the numerology together. And just as a disclaimer, I am not an astrologer or an astrologist. I team up with people who are astrology experts. I always say that I know just enough astrology to be dangerous. So for me, the numerology is my wheelhouse, but I do know when I work with people who are experts in astrology, that it's just beautifully hand in hand. It really does move in the same direction. And that's what I also love about all of this, because seriously, how weird is it for someone to give me their name and their birth date, and I can basically, you know, I can talk to them about their lives. They're like, oh my God, how did you know? How did you know? And it's like, I am the translator, right? I'm simply interpreting. But it's kind of a relief to think, first of all, we have free will. We can go about it in any way we choose or not choose to do it. And yet there's some semblance of a relief to go, oh, there is a plan here. There is a map. Mm-hmm. And when I can feel into it, I can relax a little bit and understand and have trust in the flow of where I'm going and why I'm here. I think that's a big one.
Yeah. And there's probably, surely, a nine will show up who is more advanced on their journey, maybe more at a higher level of consciousness than a nine that's not as advanced. Yes. Do you ever talk to someone and go, I bet you they're a four, or I bet you they're a, and then are you pretty good at guessing?
I have to admit, I'm getting really good at that. I can talk with somebody, and if I can't guess their life path number directly, I know components of their, but usually I can guess their life path pretty much 9 out of 10. At this point.
Wow, really?
And it's funny, and it's even sometimes it's just the words they use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just the way that they, you know, they conceptualize things, the way they talk about things, and you're like, oh, you're such a seven, or you're a three, or you're a, you know, it's fun though. It's almost 100% right on.
So I'm assuming, I know it is weird, but the reason I ask that is because I feel like I'm obviously not even near as advanced as you are or expert by any means in numerology, but I've been so intrigued with it for years. And I feel like people will say certain things and I'm like, I bet you they're at this. And
oh yeah. It's fun. I'm right.
And sometimes I'm not right, but yeah. 9 out of 10, that's honey. That's good. Really good. But
it is. But well, are there numbers that you are less likely to guess?
I feel like I'm good at guessing fours. I'm trying to think of the ones I'm not. Probably two maybe is less likely for me to guess. That's the only one that really comes to mind. I think mm-hmm. fives are pretty easy to tell mm-hmm. because they seem pretty like, you know, free spirited and like.
Usually, unless they're, you know, I've talked to a lot of fives who are like, oh, I wish that were me.
Yes, that is true, right?
Right.
And they're like suppressed. They're suppressing yes. their free spirit. I have one friend who she is the ultimate.
Well, they're on five. Their third drink, right?
Yeah,
sorry.
Exactly. She's the ultimate five. I'll have to even send you her Instagram page because you'll laugh, because she is like, to me, the prime poster child for a five. She's always okay. got like a half shirt on and her hair's like, flowing in the wind. And she's just like this free spirit. But what I wonder is, I'm assuming that numbers are compatible as well. So like, for example, if somebody's married to a different life path, is there like a synergy there or a good and a not so good mix?
Always, it's interesting because I'm just finishing up a new book and I have a whole section on relationship compatibility, just because this is, we can extend it to everything because life is relationships, right? Whether we're talking about a romantic relationship or a relationship with our parents, our friends, our colleagues, our, you know, ourselves in many ways. So we can extend it into so many area of our life. And what I always will say is that there are no good and bad. Right? There's just an understanding of key elements, like key values and key areas for people. So I see that there are more relationship patternings that have more fluidity to it, where, you know, where it's the possibility of someone actually getting each other is there. Mm-hmm. And then there are the incongruent ones. And yet it's really what I find really fascinating. And I'll just throw out a few examples. So I have a lot of couples who are, it's funny, you talk about the four and the five, who are fours and fives.
Okay.
On paper, a train wreck, right? You would look because, and let's just say that the four is all about security, systems building, structure. They are the slow, steady wins the race. They're the honest, tried and true. They're the ones showing up on time. You know, they're the workhorses, the worker bees of the world. And they're usually very rigid about that, right? And so they often couple with a five, who the five is the fearless flyer, right? The five is the sensuous freedom seeker, fun, fearlessness, sex, adventure, escape, stimulation, travel, you know, all of they're these catalysts, they're these agents of change. So it's like, oh my God, how does that work? And I remember having a client call with one who wanted to talk about her marriage, and she was a five and he was a four. And I started talking about it, and she just started weeping, you know, and she said, that's exactly the thing. Like, I want to go and do, and he's so rigid and I want to understand, but I don't. But even just laying it out that way was a real huge relief for her to understand what she wants and what he wants, and then maybe how to meet in the middle. The beautiful thing is when you understand and are mindful, right, and intentional, and this is what the numbers can do for us, I feel. The five can go, okay, these are my values, these are my characteristics, these are my attributes. And the five is about the freedom through self-discipline. The four is all about self-discipline. So when they can call upon that to model it for them, to encourage them, to support them, to give them some of that, oh my gosh, that grounds the five to where they can actually be productive, where they can actually do their fiveness in its highest and best way. Just the same with the five and the four. The four often can't see above the waterline, is very inside the box, is very dogmatic, is very rigid about things. And so if they have a partner who's like, come on, let's go. We're gonna go do this. And oh, let's, okay, oh, see it, look at it this way. You could do it this way. And they'd be go, oh my God, I couldn't have even seen that in a million years. So they can really help and hold hands and be their best selves when they're doing that energy exchange, right?
Yeah.
And so the beauty, and yet if they don't know, it's a train wreck, right?
I love that. The yin and the yang, right?
Yes.
What's a good one for the one?
Oh, good one for the one. Okay. The ones often, it's funny, partner up with eights, which I sometimes don't, people always
competitive.
Oh my gosh, yes. I mean, they have to understand who's in charge of what and when, because mm-hmm. there can be a lot of power struggles with mm-hmm. the one and the eight. Yet they're both business minded. They're both highly active in that way. The eight is more of the CEO, sort of management organizer, really all about the power and the influence and all of that. The one is more of the creative. The one is more of that entrepreneurial spirit, learning about what I always say, the one is learning about all the I words, independence, you know, I am, and independence, individuation, initiation, all of those very forward-thinking, dynamic, pioneering, courageous sort of energies is what the one is all about. So they can often couple up. I also find ones and sixes couple up quite frequently in terms of home and family, when that's something that they're very into together. Yeah. And yet they can be synergistic in that way. And sometimes ones and twos show up together. Again, very diametric, but just like the four and the five, the one needs a cheerleader. The one needs, you know, constant support and accolades and wants, you know, someone to be there. The two wants nothing more than to be the support system. And yet you got to have a really good balance in terms of codependency. So you have to, there's always going to be something to work with. And I always find this is kind of a no duh, but I think it's good to remind ourselves relationships are never wasted. It doesn't matter. And they're always there for a reason.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I love looking at family dynamics. I've often done readings for entire families where we can see what the underlying thematic is for an entire family. And it's always so much fun because there's always one. And I'm like, and this is the black sheep. And they're like, oh my God, how did you know?
You know? Oh my gosh. That's true though. That is so interesting because we have four children. My husband's a six, I'm a one, but we have four children and there's a match for each of us. Like I have two threes We have two sixes, and then we have a one and a double one. Like, we kind of have a match for each person, you could say. It's interesting.
Absolutely. It is very interesting. And I always love to look and see what we're set up to learn from each other. And oftentimes that learning comes with triggers. The one child that triggers the heck out of you because, oh, they're just like you. Uh-oh. Right? Or they aren't like you at all. And you just can't get them, you know? And you're like, I just can't even understand how to communicate with this person who is my child, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's one of the other things that I love about the numbers, if you get into it, is that it can offer you a really great way to understand your child and to understand ways of nurturing them and of communicating with them that are not in your personal wheelhouse. They wouldn't be the way that you would get the most out of being talked to or disciplined. And like, for instance, what do you say? You've got two threes and then two sixes?
Two threes and my husband, and then my son is a six.
And then an 11.
And then my baby's an 11. Yeah.
Okay. Because the sixes, seriously, I'll just give you this as an example. As a child, and even as your husband, and we're all children.
Yeah.
overall, right? Yeah. I mean, we're just grown up children.
Absolutely.
So the sixes are incredibly, they feel super uber responsible for everything and everyone. Even as a child, even if it doesn't make sense to you as a parent, they feel responsible for siblings. And sometimes they feel they're parenting their parents on some level. So it's really interesting. And they are perfectionist kind of control freak kids. They need to understand early and often how to make mistakes. Yeah. That the world will not end. And also they do not do well with being told what to do. Rarely do people do that, but oh my God, sixth child, you need to actually, just as an example, you'd say, all right, you got to go. You've got 2 hours to clean your room and blah, 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 blah. And you go in after 2 hours, 3/4 of it's done. You know, there's stuff shoved under or whatever, right? They get distracted. And so rather than walk in and go, didn't I tell you that you're going, you know, do that, they will, oh my gosh, they will dig their heels in. They will never. So they respond much better with, wow, look at what you've accomplished here. You are incredible at doing this, and do some specific comments about something they've done exceedingly well. And then say, and I can see that you know, this isn't quite done over here yet, but maybe take another hour and I'm sure you can get that done just like you just got this done. Amazing job. And it gives them the fuel to actually go and do it, because these kids, again, are super perfectionists. And sometimes they just need not to be told what to do. They need stroking before they get the corrective, if you know what I mean. Yeah. And I think that we can do that with most children. And yet for a six, very, very much so, that's a way they're going to respond better.
Where were you 12 years ago?
Well, I'm the same. I have two children and I came to numerology after they were in those formative years, but I could have used it then as well. And it's funny, like if you have an eight child, you need to teach them about money. And that is something that we usually don't do. It's like, oh my God, we can't talk about money or sex or anything else, but we can't certainly talk about money or finances. An eight child, every child, once again, but an eight absolutely needs to start thinking in terms of what money is to them. They need to start getting paid for, you know, whatever way. Oftentimes these kids are little entrepreneurial spirits where they want, because money is valuable to them or important to them. And rather than say, you shouldn't want money. You should say, ooh, this is great. Now let's have your bank and let's take 10% of that and put that in your charitable account. And then at the end of 3 months, there'll be enough. And then you decide where you're going to give it. You know, maybe it's a school project or maybe it's a charity that they want to give. But start teaching them to give charitably, and at the same time, allow them to buy something special for themselves, and they'll make some mistakes. And you got to let them. They might want to buy that big whatever video game or the $120 sweatshirt that you're like, what? But you've got to let them and take ownership over it. So it's that really interesting engagement that you can start looking at the PowerPoints and the ways in which they are set up to operate. And if you can support that early on, it's really powerful. It really, really is.
Yeah. Oh, I agree with that so much. So with that, what that makes me think about is, you know, looking at your children. It has helped me so much as a mom, even though I didn't know it with my older two, which is funny that you say that the six doesn't like to be told what to do. Because my son, he's 21 now, but when he graduated from high school, he was like, peace out. I'm done being told what to do. And he moved out like right away.
And your mom, you're like, oh my God, what did I do? Yeah.
You know what? I actually think it's healthy. It's a good thing to not make it too comfortable in the nest, because I'm seeing a lot of kids that don't want to move out. They don't want to like spread their wings. They're afraid to, you know, go and conquer their life. But I mean, it just depends. It depends on the kid. But with my daughter, what really got me in numerology, our baby girl she's now 10. Mm-hmm. And when she was little, Felicia, I did not know what to do with her. My husband and I literally, she was 8 months old. And I remember driving down the road, we were having a conversation and he was talking about her. And I go, you're scared, aren't you? And he goes, yeah. And we were both like, we'd never seen anyone like her. Her personality is so big and bright, and we didn't want to stamp things out of her, but we didn't understand her and the world didn't understand her. And so I really delved into Chinese astrology, numerology, lots of different angles. And numerology really helped me with her because she's an 11. And I ended up writing a letter to her of really blowing up her strengths instead of her weaknesses. And I hung it on her wall. She was only like a year old when I did this, but I did it in a way because it was symbolic of us raising her, focusing on her strengths and not misunderstanding her. And numerology was a big part of the puzzle for me to understand her. So how does an 11 want to be parented? Tell me that.
Oh my God. How long have you got?
They don't do this. They think they're an adult.
Yes and no, but yes and no. Yes, 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 no, 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 yes, no. So that's kind of how
that's
they
true.
Want to be
that
parented.
So it's like the back and forth. That's true. That is so true.
The pendulum.
They're the 11 and the two, right? They're the one and the two.
Exactly. And so for those of you listening who don't know, like what's so big about the 11, right? So these are called master numbers in numerology, 11, 22, 33, and so on. But those are the three that we primarily see in a numerology chart. I'm seeing some 44s, but we don't need to go into that. So the master numbers carry with them a higher spiritual potential, no matter how you might personally, right, define that, and then some more intense challenges. It is not easy. It's truly a marathon and not a sprint. And here you are, you've got a 10-year-old. So it's just the beginning, right, of this process. And basically the master numbers offer a much more internal anxiety. So there's a lot of anxiousness, especially with children, not especially, but with children, and you don't know how to, they don't know how to handle it. And so certainly parents don't either. So parents are usually like, just calm down, or you're too sensitive, or, you know, just get over it, those sorts of things. And there's truth to that, because we have to teach an 11 to how to self-soothe and how to, the way I say it is, discipline the emotions. Not deny them or dissipate or anything like that, but how to discipline them, because that is their key to the castle in their lives, is disciplining emotions, keeping them, but disciplining them. And then those master numbers are always kicking you into leadership positions, taming the ego through lots of experiences that allow you to tame the ego. And yet they're on a special mission, and they're also very conflicted because, like you're observing with the 11/2, the foundational energy is the 2. And in numerology, that is the diplomat, the mediator, the peacekeeper, the one who is developing and acting with patience. I always say that the blessing and the curse of the 2 is that they are set up to live a lifetime of learning how to be the ultimate mediator, a diplomat. And often people seriously in, you know, diplomat, I mean, both Michelle and Barack Obama, Henry Kissinger, Bill Clinton, Prince William, and his son are all 11s. So diplomacy, diplomats often brought into that world as well. What the 2 is all about also, their ambition resides within relationships. So they want relationships, and those are key, key features. They want to be the power behind the throne. They're the more supportive feminine energy in numerology. And so they are incredibly, and can I say that one more time? Incredibly emotionally sensitive and energetically sensitive, highly intuitive. But the issue is they don't know it. They don't understand how sensitive they are. They just think that, I mean, that's their only life experience. They think the whole world operates that way. And the world does not operate that way. So they're learning about that as they go. And then they've got the caveat, which is the 1, which is just the opposite. So it really is the yin yang, right? The perfect, it's incredibly powerful. And yet it is the 1, which is the creative innovator, right? All about self, all about winning, all about initiation, doing, action, pioneering, inventing, going, you know, failing forward, standing on your own 2 feet. There's a lot of rebelliousness that can go with that. The nonconformity that can go with that. So they often feel like they're wrestling an alligator, which is themselves. Mm-hmm. And so until they can learn how to understand both elements of themselves and learn how to harmonize that in some way, or at least learn when to tap into one and let the other one kind of have a timeout, and then tap into the other one and let the other one have a timeout, right? Not a timeout in a punitive way, but just take a rest there for a minute while I, you know, do this part of what I am. So it's that. Overarchingly, the 11 is the number of spiritual illumination. This master number is an inspired healer. They are also highly creative vortexes. They're kind of like walking satellite dishes. A lot of inventors have this energy. So it's kind of dreamy. So many ideas and everything, and yet depending on what else is in their chart, hard to bring it down to earth. So, and they often have this really interesting dynamic of, I have a client who is an 11 and I love, and she's given me permission to say this. So she said that her therapist once said that, she said, you know, you are such, you have such polarity in your personality. And she said, on the one hand, you're this damsel in distress. And then on the other hand, you are the tyrannical queen.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
And so there's this interesting dynamic. So I call the 11/2s very loving, kind of with an edge to it, because they often are like, well, I don't want to get up and stand up in front of people. But when they don't, then they're resentful because it should have been them. Mm. You know?
Yeah.
Or when they, you know, I mean, so it's this really interesting juggle of both of those. And yet where they meet in the middle beautifully is learning about self, how to assert the self in a healthy, dynamic way from, you know, the outside in. And then the 2 is asking you to self-identify from the inside out and not mutate and shape-shift to please others. Does okay. that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. So when you're looking at a birth date, okay, you've got the month and the day as well, right? So there's energies. That's why I said we could get lost in the numbers, which I'm sure you do, because you're looking at all these different angles. But when we're looking at the birth date, So let's take my birthday, for example, 3/11. So is there one that has more weight than other? Like, would you look more at the energy of the month, the 3, or would you look more at the energy of the day, the 11?
I would look at, in this example, I would look at the birthday.
Okay.
So if I were looking at a whole chart that has your life path, what we call your expression number, that's taken from your name. And then we have a soul urge number also taken from the name, the personality number also taken from the name. And then we have the birthday number. So when you're just looking at somebody's birth date, you can derive their life path number, because the life path, I don't think we've really calculated. Do we calculate that? The life path? I don't think we gave that example. We gave the personal year. Okay, okay. So let's do, for those of you who want to know your life path, so can we use yours or should we use somebody else's?
Yeah, of course.
All right. So we are looking at the life
path.
I figured you were, but I always like to make sure, you know?
And so. I'm married, the jig is up. I'm 45.
Oh, you're such a youngster already, you know, just
thank you.
Keep
thank
going. You. So here's how you do the life path number, calculate it. Also, a little spoiler alert, just like every other ology, there are different schools of thought about how this is done. Okay. I'll give you the way that I feel is the most quote unquote proper way to do it. And yet I'll indicate the other way to do it. What I want to say, first of all, is that you will always get the one digit number will be the same at the end. It's just that as you get more deeply into numerology, if you choose to do so, the two numbers prior to when you digit down do have some nuanced information for you. And so depending on how you calculate it, there'll be two different numbers that will be there. So honestly, I get asked this all the time, and it basically, I wish there was an absolute, but there is no absolute for anything in the world, any in medicine, academia, you know, anything. So it's kind of up to you to play around with it and figure out what feels right to you. That's basically what it all boils down to. And so if we go back to this life path number, we're going to calculate it by taking the month, day, and the year of birth, and we're going to reduce each and then add those three numbers together. So for this example, it's March 11th, 1976, the bicentennial. You were born on the bicentennial. Mm-hmm. So we take the month, which is 3. Once again, the 11th is 11. There are certain schools of thought that would reduce that to a 2. Mine is that it remains an 11 if it's an 11 or a 22. Okay. So then we're going to take 1976. This is the hardest math that we're going to be doing. So 1 plus 9 is 10, plus 7 is 17, plus 6, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. And then we take 2 plus 3 equals 5. We're always reducing to that one digit. So then we'll take 3 plus 11 plus 5 and add that together. And I'll take, so 3 plus 11 is 14, plus 5 is 19. 1 plus 9 equals 10. And so this is a great example, because then you still keep reducing. You keep going. So 1 plus 0 equals 1. In your instance, again, this is a deeper dive, but a 19 actually is considered what is called a karmic debt number in numerology. Offers some really great information about the more of the nuances and the complexities. In a good way, I find. I love working with the karmic debt numbers, because it gives you, again, this window of opportunity to really do this thing and take the right direction with it. And yet in this instance, you're a 1. You are a 1 life path. So that is how you do your life path number. The second way of doing it, which a lot of people subscribe to, which is you just add it all together like one long addition problem. So that would be 3 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 9 plus 7 plus 6. And then that would be the two digit, and then you reduce it to the one digit. So yeah. You can do it that way as well.
Good, 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 good. Okay. So tell people, like, if they're intrigued, they want to learn about numerology, they want to learn about you, where do they start? Where do you feel like is a good place to start?
Oh, the best place to start actually is the website. I call it the portal for all things for those who are numerology curious. So it's FeliciaBender.com. You can go there. There's even just in the menu, there's a start here button. So you can if you are absolutely unfamiliar, you can find out what your life path number is. There's a calculator there to verify that. I always say with the life path, with any calculations, it's like being a carpenter. The mantra is measure twice, cut once. So with numerology, it's add at least 2 to 3 times to make sure that your math is right. Because if you're off one number, you're really, really off. So it's a good way. I do monthly forecasts there based on your personal year number. There's some YouTube videos. So there's a lot of free content there that can really just give you a great idea about who you are and where you are with numerology. And if you want to go farther, you can order a chart and get all of your numbers. And then there's other elements there as well. But it's a great place to start. I love it. It's a great tool and it's a lot of fun. And you can just keep referring back to it over and over again, right?
Yeah. It's amazing how resonant it is. I do your numerology monthly readings. So basically, if we've lost you here, because I know it can start to go, what are they talking about? 1 + 2 + 5 plus 7, you can go straight to Felicia's website, which we'll have in the show notes, and you can just go to the numerology calculator and it'll do it for you and you don't have to worry about it. And you can punch in yours and your kids and your partners and your friends, and it's fun. And it's a really fun thing to do at a party.
Oh my gosh, it
is. I love learning about this. To talk about at parties, people love to hear about their numerology.
It's fun. And it's really fun also to, midpoint of a party or toward the end. And you know how everyone naturally kind of groups up. Mm-hmm. And I always find it fun to talk to people. And if you can even get people to say, it's like these little pods of people who have numbers that get each other. And then there's that one person in the group who is either the hanger on or the one who's aloof or the one who, and they're out of the circle, right? Like they're not in that number pod. it's really fun to see who gravitates to whom and
who's that person. What's their number that's out of the group that's on their own?
And it's funny because oftentimes it is funny. It depends on, again, the nature of the energy of the group. So if you've got a bunch of threes, sixes, and nines, if you got a seven in there, the seven is usually like, oh, how the hell did I get here? Like, well, get me home.
They want to be off on their own. Yeah. I love that. That's so fun. It's so fun though. And so go to her website, start diving in. It also has the monthly calendar, right? Mm-hmm. I think you put in your personal year and then it'll tell you your monthly forecast. And it's crazy how right on it is.
Yeah. So I write the monthly forecasts myself, but you can make sure that you're on the right personal year. So you do the calculator, it'll give you your personal year, but then you can go to the forecasts and they're written there. And you can see those on YouTube and also listen to them if you want to, I think on Spotify, but it's embedded there. So if you're more of a podcast kind of person, you can listen instead of read. So.
Awesome. And you said you have a book coming out?
Yes, I'm excited about it. And I'm kind of waiting in terms of the release date because I'm still, herding cats in terms of how to, getting everything in line. And hopefully at the end of February, it'll be released. And so you can also pretty soon, when you go to my website, there'll be a launch. You can get on the wait list for the launch party. I'll be giving some bonuses out and just, part of the conversation. We'll probably have a few live broadcasts and talking about your numerology if you'd like to, but it's called The Ultimate Guide to Practical Numerology, Mapping Your Path and Purpose. So it really goes over all of this stuff in detail and with some good graphics and hopefully in a way that gives you a depth and breadth of knowledge around the numbers, but makes it easy to read in some way, shape, or form your own core numbers and then those of people that you would like to read their numbers. So that's the hope anyway.
I love it. I can't wait. I can't wait for it. So good. That's awesome. And I just did a deep dive with Felicia and it was so fun because I don't even remember how many pages the report that you did for me was, but it is definitely detailed and so on point. So is that just on your website on as a personal reading? How would that be?
Yeah, that's the individual profile. So again, okay, if you want to know more than your life path, because what's interesting is sometimes, because our life path is what we checked in to do. It's what we checked in to learn and grow into and accomplish. And so we're going to have some, we're always going to have the oppositional pull no matter what, but it's what we're shooting for. So it's funny because sometimes we have some bumps and bruises along the way, right? And sometimes we identify with some other numbers even more so. And then we find out that we have those numbers in our chart, right? Or we have double something, another number that kind of, it gives us more of an identity or more feelings around that number. So it's a kind of interesting thing if you do get into the numerology to do your full chart, because it'll fill in a lot of gaps that you would like to have filled in.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for being a part of this awesome convo with Felicia. She is so fun to talk to. And thank you, Felicia, for being here. I know everybody's going to love it. They're going to love numerology just as much as we do, because it is such a awesome tool to navigate this life with.
I agree. Thank you so much for having me. What a fun conversation. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Okay, everyone. Bye for now.
Do you have a coach? I would love to take this journey with you to dive deep and start to shift those areas to create a life that truly honors you. I'll meet you on that bridge at whatever level you are ready, with either group or one-on-one coaching. You can check out my programs at jensuliathu.com/programs. Also, go ahead and hit that subscribe button and rate and review this show and give me your feedback. Also, please share this with your friends and family and be a lighthouse out in the world. Thanks for joining me.